Hey friend, are you struggling to find consistent paid speaking gigs? Do you want to know the exact 6 steps that you can take to find and book more paid speaking opportunities in 2024? Well, we want to make that easy for you. We've created a new free resource with the help of Dan Irvin, one of our highly successful speakers on our team. Dan has booked over $100,000 in paid speaking gigs in the last few years, and his 6-step process is going to help you maximize your chances of getting booked and paid to speak in any industry. You're going to learn how to get started prospecting, master discovery calls and proposal emails, and so much more. All you got to do is go to thespeakerlab.com/steps, and we're going to send you this 18-page guide straight to your inbox. Again, that is thespeakerlab.com/steps, and you're going to get that free guide. Hey, thanks for listening. You're awesome. Hey friends, Graham Baldwin here. Welcome back to the Speaker Lab podcast. Hey, this week I am joined by Eric Ream, who's been on the show many, many times. He's a speaker, author, friend, one of our facilitators here at the Speaker Lab. He works day in, day out with our students in the trenches, helping them build and grow their speaking businesses. And so today we're going to be digging into one of the things that has really allowed Eric to take his speaking business to that 7-figure mark, and that is workshops. Now, as many of you may know, we use the Speak framework, and that K in the Speak framework stands for knowing when to scale. And so during this conversation, Eric's going to share his 4-step framework for developing, selling, and leveraging workshops to unlock more income and impact in your speaking business. This conversation really is the guidebook for you to scale your business to level up in a way that most people can only dream of. So super excited about this. Let's get on with the show here so that you can unlock the next level of your speaking business as well. Here's my conversation with Eric Ream, all about workshops. Enjoy. Hey, what's up, friends? Grant Baldwin here. Welcome back to the Speaker Lab podcast. Good to have you here with us today. Super excited about today's conversation with one of your fan favorites, one of my favorites, Mr. Eric Ream. Eric, we are coming up on nearly 500 episodes, and I got to believe you've been on more than anybody else other than me. So congratulations for that distinction. That's a very unofficial award, but we're good to have you back here today.
Yeah, I'm excited to be back. It's fun, man. I really look forward to this, Grant. It's always a highlight for me. I love hanging out with you. And I remember the first time you invited me on, we were texting back and forth. You say, hey, you're crushing it. You want to come on the podcast? I'm like, sure. And I went on the podcast and my wife listened to it. She goes, you sounded weird on that podcast. Why don't you just talk normal? So hopefully my wife will approve of this one. And you just met my wife for the first time, by the way, not too long ago. How'd that go? Did you enjoy that?
Yes, I did have the opportunity to meet your lovely wife. We're all happy that she settled for you, and she is amazing. Definitely your better half there. Now, today we're gonna be talking about not only your speaking journey, which we've covered and touched on multiple times before, but specifically, there's one thing within the speaking world that we haven't touched a lot on the podcast, but has been a real catalyst for your growth. And we'll just kind of tease it and leave it there. But for context here, why don't we kind of set the stage of You shared a little bit about this before, but kind of walk us through, like at a high level, your business journey and specifically any numbers that you're comfortable sharing of what you were doing kind of before the Speaker Lab and then since, and then what was like the catalyst that really started to propel things for you?
Yeah, well, it was meeting you, really. We talked about this in detail before, but just to give a highlight, like you said, going into 2015, I'd been doing my own thing for about 2 years, just trying to figure some things out. And then I ran into you, and I can't remember how it happened, but I did. I ran into you at the end of 2015, and you kind of pitched this idea of this thing you were putting together, and I thought it sounded intriguing. And so I went through the process, and you and I had a 15-minute phone call. That's what it was like back then. We had a 15-minute phone call, you and I. We kind of set the tone. I went through a little bit of an online course. You kind of coached me back and forth through email. And that year, Grant, when I met you, I had made $9,000 that year in my speaking business. Then I met you, jumped into Speaker Lab, and that next year I made $30,000. That was huge for me. Working full time with a family of 5. We're a single income family, and that extra $30,000, I was excited about that. But what was even more exciting, though, is then after that, the path that I went on and the growth that I experienced doing the things that you taught me and learning as I go on some other things. I went from 30 to 150,000 the next year. And the next year after that, I call it the freedom year, Grant. I made $165,000 that year, but that's when I became a full time speaker. That's when I texted you one stormy night in Nashville, Tennessee, when I was on like the 25th floor of this hotel. And I said, Grant, I think I can go full time. And you're like, dude, you just went full time like a year ago, but you gave me that confidence. And that was my freedom year, 165,000. I remember March 19th, I went on the stage after you gave me permission. By the way, it's not like, you tell me what to do, but I believe in mentorship. I believe in submitting to other people that have been further along and know have wisdom. And so I submitted to your mentorship, and I wasn't going to go full time unless you gave me the blessing. And you gave me that blessing. March 19th, I went on stage as a full time speaker. It was fantastic. I never looked back. Then the pandemic year hit. I was able to scratch around $332,000 that year during the pandemic year. But then, Grant, over the next 3 years, I made $1.8 million over the next 3 years after the pandemic.
Okay, hang on. Right. So to all go right. from like, again, we're having like some modest jumps here. I know we're just describing this verbally here. So track along here if you're listening wherever you are. So going from like, you know, 150, 165, 332 is a big jump. But then like for the next 3 years, you're kind of averaging basically double, like 600, you know, plus give or take per year. So again, that's a significant jump over what it had been. And I find that for most speakers, they get to a point where they just kind of hit a ceiling. You know, there's only so many gigs that you can do. There's only so much you can charge. Most speakers just kind of like, they not necessarily they run out of gas, but they just kind of plateau. So what was it for you that really, well, and even like beyond just those next 3 years, I know that like, this is growth that is continuing for you.
Oh, yeah. Well, check this out. So the $1.8 million I've made over the last 3 years, 60% every year, the revenue is already locked in with me for going into the year because I have some existing clients that are hiring me every year. So think about that for a moment, Greg. When you go into as a speaker, you're going into the calendar year and 60% of your revenue is already in place. You know what's where it's coming from. That means I got to go out and find another 40%. That gives me a lot of that's a safety net. It gives me a lot of peace, and it gives me the freedom to be creative, which is fantastic. And I've already booked $440,000 this year already, and we're still in first quarter, and $440,000 is already booked, and I'm already booking gigs into 2026. So the answer to your question, what changed? It's one word, man: workshops.
Workshops
is the key.
That's the key, huh? Okay, all right. So why workshops?
Okay, well, there's a couple problems that we run into as speakers. And in the beginning, you're just trying to get on stage, right? You're just trying to get on stage. You're trying to land some gigs. You're trying to make some money doing it. The problem is that a lot of those gigs are just one-off gigs, right? You do the gig, you get paid, and you move on, and you got to go out and create that gig over again. The other problem is that, you know, a lot of speakers, including myself in the beginning, you know, the revenue stream stops at the keynote, right? You go to a conference, you do a keynote, you do a breakout, you do pre-conference, whatever, and it stops at that. And every year in the beginning, I was starting at zero. It was like resetting. And I didn't want to build a business like that. And then I didn't have an intentional plan building the momentum. So the workshops solved all those problems. It allowed me to have a way that once I stepped off that keynote stage, there was a bridge to take those folks, because if you think about when you're on stage, Grant, you will never have as many people excited about what you're talking about, intrigued by what you're talking about, than that moment you step off stage. That's the peak interest right there. And most speakers miss the opportunity to take that peak interest and turn it into more revenue opportunities. And what I began to realize is that, you know, 20 to 30% of the folks in the audience love what I had to say, but I had nothing for them afterwards. And that's when I started delving into this idea of maybe I should have something more, and maybe it should be kind of some kind of workshop. So that's what really I started to do, and it worked. That's where I hit an inflection point.
Well, and maybe for context here, let's kind of set the stage of like, when we talk about workshops, what exactly are we talking about? Because there's, you know, there's a lot of terms that can kind of be synonymous in the speaking industry: workshops, breakouts, keynotes, seminars. You know, like, how would you kind of distinguish workshops from any other form of speaking or presentations?
Yeah. Well, I keep it very simple. Yeah, everything I do is very simplistic, the way I approach things. And for me, a workshop to me is duration based. So when you start to go 90 minutes or beyond, that now becomes a workshop for me and definition. Now, another way you can look at it too it's like a deeper dive. It's a deeper dive into a topic where people want to unpack it and they want to learn more about it. And because of that, you need more time. But the reason why I use time as my definition is if you think about conferences, most of the time they have spots for you for like 45 minutes, maybe an hour, but not beyond that. You know, 90 minutes that's a lot of time at a conference. And so that's where I started identifying, okay, these are workshops. Now, what's key about that is the expectation of what an event planner is willing to pay for. It's amazing how when you start mentioning workshops, event planners look at that differently, or decision makers, and that's a different expectation of what you can charge, which we're going to talk a bit more as we go through this interview today.
And so when we talk about workshops, you know, a lot of the events we do are typically like in a conference type of setting. So are you talking about like a workshop in a conference, or are you talking about maybe you go speak at something and someone in the audience sees you and says, hey, everything you just talked about, can you come help us to implement and apply that within our company or organization or association? And it's more just kind of a standalone type of deal aside from a typical conference type setting.
Yeah, I've done both, but I would say 95% of it is the latter, what you just described. It's a different setting. So what happens is at a conference, you tee up the idea, the concept, and then the folks in the audience that wants to continue the journey, you're going to give them a natural bridge or a natural on-ramp to continue the journey with you. Normally at a separate event, maybe on-site with them. It could be virtual, by the way. It could be some kind of cohort. It could be on-site. There's all kinds of different ways in which you can deploy the concept. But the main thing is you're going to provide a natural bridge for folks that are in the audience. They're excited about what you have to say. They want to bring it back to the organization, and you're going to give them a way to do that. Now, I have done pre-conference workshops before. There are some conferences that do pre-conference workshops, and I've done that as well.
And so when we're talking about this, you're also talking about, like, it sounds like something different than what like a typical conference breakout session would be, you know, where you have kind of the main keynote perhaps, but then there are, hey, here's five breakout sessions and everybody gets to kind of choose which one they want to go to. This is something different than that, correct?
Oh, yeah, because those breakout sessions, they're very limited because usually it's just high level stuff. A lot of times the breakouts are 45 minutes. They might be an hour, but not more than that. And there's not enough time to really dive deep on a concept. So I've actually done taken some of my keynote material and done those in breakouts, depending on, you know, what the constraints are and what they want me to do. But you can't go much more than that. So the breakouts are not really set up to do deep dives like that.
Gotcha. All right. So you've kind of touched on this, but maybe kind of summarize here, like why workshops? Like why are workshops something that speakers should be considering?
Yeah. Well, if you think about what a lot of times the speaker journey is, you get some of that initial success. And that's a beautiful thing, man. I mean, I remember, Grant, when I got my first $1,000 check. You remember that when you got your first? Yeah. I mean, man, it was like I was at the top of the world. I mean, I might as well have been a millionaire. I get paid $1,000 to get up and speak. That is fantastic. But that doesn't pay the bills ultimately. That's not a long-term plan. And so once you have that initial success, you start making some money, then you got to start thinking about, okay, if I want to make this into a business, how do I capture this momentum? That's really the big deal there. So you want to get that momentum that you initially get. You've got something. The market is giving you a signal that, oh yeah, there's something here. There's some potential revenue here. Well, once you get that signal and you get that momentum, well, what do you do from there? Where do you take it? Well, this is one way to do it. You want to be able to increase your revenue, right? So when you're out there and spending your time, I mean, that's, as a speaker, our time and the days that we speak, that's a premium. That's an inventory, right? I've only got so much inventory in the calendar year. So I want to capture as much revenue as I can and add as much value as I can. And most speakers that I know and I work with, we have a passion to get our message out there, right? I mean, there's a reason why we're speaking. We're speaking because we want to add value in some form. And what better way than to expand your reach than to do workshops where you can really make an impact? You know, you can only make so much of an impact on a keynote stage for an hour. Yeah, you can motivate people. You can inspire them. You can give them some things they can think about. But man, I can tell you, if you have a desire, and this is not for everyone. I know, like, for instance, for you, workshops wasn't for you, which is fine. You had different ways you added value. But if you want to dive deep on a concept, or maybe you do have a topic that does require more room to breathe, what better way than to expand your reach in a workshop setting? And what I love about workshops is a lot of times when you work with organizations or clients, these workshops are things that they want to bring you back more often than not. Because a lot of times, like I had a event planner I'm talking to right now, they have 700 employees. There's no way I can come and do a workshop in one setting for 700 employees, but I can come and do one department and come back and do another department and come back and do another department and then new employees. So what this does is it builds you an opportunity or affords you an opportunity to have predictable income stream. And Grant, as you know, that is gold for speakers to know they have income that's predictable. That's the difference between a business that can last for 5 years and beyond and a business that may struggle before they even get to the 5 year mark, cash flow, having predictable cash flow. And that's the gift that workshops can give you.
Yeah. One of the downsides of if you're just purely a keynote speaker is oftentimes, even if you come in and you do a great job, most conferences events will be like, hey, that was awesome. We're just not interested in having you back for, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, even if you did great. And oftentimes they just want different fresh faces in there. They want different speakers in there. They want to let the audience turn over a little bit perhaps. And so they're just not going to bring you back year after year after year. However, Eric, like you alluded to, depending on the nature of the content that you're sharing in a workshop, if it's something where they're like, hey, this works really, really well. We need all new team members or all, this is maybe the type of thing that is a continuing education type topic that we want people to go through on some type of annual basis, then you start to work with one client, but you can work with that same client year after year after year, and it starts to really increase what the lifetime value is of one individual client. So we've talked a lot about so far about like the value of workshops, how that's been such a catalyst of the growth of your own business. But let's kind of walk through like, how do you actually build this? And like, what does this look like here? So I know you put together a 4-part framework for really ramping up your speaking business, potentially driving towards a 7-figure speaking business through workshops. So can you walk us through like what is that 4-part framework?
Yeah, this is awesome. Get ready, Grant. Get ready to get excited and get fired up because this is really cool. So yeah, I got a 4-part framework that I follow myself. And I think the thing that's exciting is this is something that I'm testing myself that's working, and it's allowing me to really bless my family. It's allowing me to live the lifestyle that I want to live. And that's what's exciting about this, Grant. It's just exciting that I've really found this nice revenue stream that just continues to just bless my business over and over and over again. So this is the 4-part framework that I'm following, that if folks that are listening to the podcast today, if they apply these things, they can be well on their way going down the same path that I'm in, where it's that 7-figure based business. And so number one, the first thing that I started to do is I wanted to develop and market a solid keynote talk. You know, the keynote talk is the bread and butter. It's a way that you get out there in front of audiences. It's a way that you can add value at that conference. You can make money, but also introduces a concept that opens up a world of prospects that can then lead into these workshops. And so that's number one, is develop and market a solid keynote talk. Then number two is, what do you do with the folks that are in the audience that says, man, I really like that Grant Baldwin guy. You know, not only is he a good looking dude, but he's actually bringing value too. And I want to link on that. I want to get more information. Well, that's the lead generator. You got to have a lead generator that can capture the audience's contact information, but also give them an immediate win. So the way I look at a lead generator, Grant, it's something that someone in the audience would be willing to pay for. They would be willing to give you cash or a credit card to get that value add. However, the currency in this case is their contact information, okay? And so a lead generator, we could talk more about that. We'll talk more about that in a second, but I just want to give them the concept. So you want to capture the leads. Then what you're going to do is once you start capturing those leads and you start developing those keynotes and you're getting on the speaking trail, now what you got to do is you got to translate that keynote into a workshop product, right? And that's a skill set. There's a skill set to do that. But how do you expand that keynote so it's workshop worthy? And then the fourth thing is you want to then take deliberate steps to market your workshop. So after you step off that keynote stage, you have everyone's attention. You've got to capture that attention so then it can turn into viable workshop opportunities for you. So that's the four steps. And I just rinse and repeat that over and over again.
All right. So again, you kind of gave us the high level there. Let's dig into each one a little bit closer here. So let's start with that first one there. Develop and market a solid keynote talk. Again, this is a core thing that we teach and talk about within the Speaker Lab. But anything you want to kind of elaborate on there of what this looks like or anything that specifically you do?
Yeah, this is what the Speaker Lab, this is our bread and butter right here, this first part. And the first thing is this, we call it your expert positioning statement. So just embrace that. What audience do you serve? What problem do you solve? And what's your solution to that problem? And what's your transformation? You turn that into your signature message. So for mine, Grant, I help overwhelmed, busy professionals cut through the whirlwind so they can rise above the chaos, discover significance, and live in peace. All right. The industry that I've tapped into is the utility industry. Now, what you do is you take that and you turn it into a signature message. My signature message is rise above the chaos, 5 principles to discover significance, and live in peace. I'm building an empire off that signature message. Now, here's the thing I recommend, and I do myself. You want to take that signature message and you want to identify 3 keynotes, separate keynotes that you could speak on that leads into the exact same message. So for example, my signature message is Rise Above Chaos, Discover Significance. I have the keynote, which is the title itself, Rise Above Chaos, Discover Significance. That's one keynote. The other keynote I have is called The World Belongs to the Encourager. That's actually principle number 3 of the Rise Above Chaos system, but it's a standalone keynote that fires people up and motivates them, but it leads into the signature message. And the third one, I have is Lead Without Speaking, The Importance of Nonverbal Communication, which is principle number 5 of my system. All 3 of those lead into the signature message. But the reason why that's important is because it allows me the opportunity, if one event planner is not too interested in the encouraging thing, but they're really interested in communication, they're still going to hire me, right? I'm still going to get on their stage. I've got options for them. So I'm not just a one-trick pony, if that makes sense. The other thing I would say is each one of your keynotes, you need to have 3 versions of them, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, and 60 minutes. Most keynotes I do are 60 minutes, but every now and then I'll get a request to do one for 30 minutes. In fact, I got one coming up in April that's only 30 minutes. So you got to have the ability to have that flexibility. And then craft an abstract for each keynote, meaning that it's a 1 page that explains your keynote. So when an event planner says, I like it, can you send me some information? You send that to the abstract. You send that abstract to them and allows you to test the market. So that's step 1. That's developing your keynote and developing your signature message.
And some people may be listening and saying like, okay, cool, I've got some of those pieces in place. Some people may be like, holy crap, that just feels like a lot of stuff. And so wherever you're at in the process, you know, you got to kind of apply and adapt this to yourself. And also keep in mind, like Eric's been at this for several years. And I think I'd also point out that the process of developing this, getting clear on what that signature message is, what the keynotes are around that or presentations would be around that is a very iterative process. It's a very experimental process. And like you kind of touched on there, you're like, you're testing things, you're trying things. I think this will work. I'm making an educated guess. And then I'm adjusting and pivoting accordingly. And so kind of over time, you start to figure out like, okay, this is what works. This is what lands. But that's not like an overnight process of I just woke up and scribbled some thoughts down and it all just worked out like that. So if you're hearing all this and you're feeling overwhelmed, don't be overwhelmed. Like really kind of push out the timeline on this and give yourself kind of a long-term perspective on this. So again, first one there is develop and market a solid keynote talk. Second one there is developing a lead generator to support that keynote and capture leads. This is something where a lot of speakers start to just kind of drop the ball because mm-hmm. we just think, you know, again, I'm the one trick pony. I go in, I do my dog and pony show, and then I leave. So talk a little bit more about why a lead generator is so important and then also how to develop this, what that could look like.
Yeah. And then also going back to the keynotes too, Grant, you can crush it with one keynote in the beginning right. And just get that down. And then if you add a second one, that's fine too. And then eventually add a third one. So yeah, I definitely want to second that you don't have to have 3 keynotes in the beginning. You want to build up to that. So a lead generator. So like I mentioned earlier, this is something of value that supports your keynote. By the way, the way you want to look at your keynotes and these lead gens is if someone is in the audience, Grant, and they're listening to your talk. And if all they did was listen to that talk and they get that lead gen, that's of tremendous value right there. Okay. So don't make it like, oh, well, you know, this lead gen and this keynote is great, but in order to get the full value, you got to hire me for your workshop too. That you won't last long if you do that. So your keynote and the lead gen needs to be a standalone thing that adds tremendous value. But for those that want to continue, then they can. But the lead gen is that opening on ramp to your workshops. Okay. So you're going to capture folks' contact information for that value add. Then you're going to deliver the value add. Right. And then when you deliver it and you get the contact information, you're going to load those contact. Like, let's say you're one of the folks in the audience and you say you get the value add and I get your information, Grant Baldwin, in your email, then that's going to be loaded into my customer relationship management tool. All right. And then I will be able to follow up with you appropriately to see if you're interested to have a conversation about how we can work together in a workshop environment. Now, let's dig a little bit deeper in what a lead gen is. Here's some examples of lead generators. It could be an ebook. Now, an ebook, Grant, my very first ebook was How's Your Vibe? 10 Body Language Mistakes to Avoid. Don't you want to know that? Don't you want to know the 10 body language mistakes to avoid?
Sounds amazing. Riveting.
Yeah. So I actually did that ebook. I wrote that on a plane, on a 3-hour plane ride to Florida, and I did it on PowerPoint. That was it. And I turned it into a PDF. That was the ebook. It was just 10 things not to do. It literally took me 3 hours to do it. You could have a little mini online course you could create. You could just do a follow-up video series. You could just record a couple videos, Loom videos of value adds and your expertise that people could get access to. Maybe you are a published author and maybe some articles in your industry that people might be interested in, and you can give them access to some of these articles you've been published in. Some folks, they do consultation and they'll do free consultation, like a 15 or 20 minute consultation based on their expertise. Or the one I have that's my big one is an assessment. Everybody likes to take an assessment. So I have an assessment. It's 25 questions. They get a score. It tells them where they are on their significance journey. It sends them an ebook that helps them unpack that journey. It's a totally beautiful value add that people love, but I get their contact information as a result of it. So that's the lead gen part.
So let's go back for a second here on the lead gen. Is you mentioned like just capturing the contact information. Like, what does that look like? Any tools that you'd recommend? Things that I'm sure you've tried a variety of different things. There's a variety of different tools out there. What have you found that works? If I'm standing on stage, there's hundreds or thousands or dozens of people in the audience. I would like to, you know, as quickly and efficiently as possible, collect their information without it being a distraction. What have you found that works?
Well, now it's QR codes. Everything's QR code driven. I used to have a tech service that I use, and that's kind of become more obsolete. But now QR codes, and I have a person on my team that does that a lot for me. But when the QR codes are linked to a landing page, and then when they do the QR code, it's basically thanks for your interest in our value add here, whatever we call it, and we just need your name and your email. And we'll send it to you. And then what happens is when they log that in, then it automatically delivers it to them and it takes their contact information. It's linked to my CRM. We're getting in the weeds a little bit here, but it takes that contact information. It loads them into my CRM and there's a tag assigned to it. So CRMs are really powerful when you can add tags to it. So like, for instance, if you use my nonverbal communication lead gen, you get tagged nonverbal. If you use my assessment lead gen, you get tagged assessment. And then if I want to follow up with you and I want to send an email out just to the folks that are interested in my assessment, then it'll automatically send it out just to the folks that went through that lead gen and not to the nonverbal folks. So it really allows me to be targeted in my follow-ups. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. And so the goal here with the lead gen is these may be workshop prospects in terms of like people who may be hiring you. Is that the goal?
Yeah. And it comes in many different forms. It could be something as simple as you just love my stuff and you I follow up with you and you'll say, Eric, man, I think your stuff was great. I turned your information over to my HR director and told him at our next employee day, we should bring you in. And then I would say, great. Can you refer me to your HR director? And it was, her name's Sarah Jones. And then I just go to Sarah Jones because they're one of their top employees just referred me. That's happened to me so many times, Grant, just a regular employee in the audience. In fact, I had one that was a spouse and you have a story like this too. Yes. But yep. I had one that was a spouse and she just liked it and said, you know, you need to talk to my husband at his job. They would love that. In fact, this has happened last night. Actually, there was a guy that was in one of my his spouse hired me to do a workshop at her company. She told him about me. He was sitting in the audience, liked my stuff, got my lead gen, got back with me, said, I liked your stuff. And I said, he said, can I see it? Can I bring my team and see it again? They just audited my workshop yesterday. We had dinner last night. I think they're going to hire me. That was a $30,000 dinner. And it was because he was in the audience. He got the lead gen because his wife, his spouse hired me. It just, it's funny how that works. You don't know where this is going to take you. But you definitely, it's not going to take you anywhere unless you have a system that allows you to capture this, these folks, and follow up with them.
Very well said. All right. So then we go again. Part one is develop and market a solid keynote talk. Part two, develop that lead gen to support the keynote, capture leads. And then part three is to translate that keynote into a viable workshop product. So I've got a good keynote. I've started to do some lead gen. I've started to capture some people who may be interested in workshops. Where do we go from there?
All right. Now what you got to do is you got to start outlining what a workshop would look like. All right. And so that's what I did, is I started thinking, okay, this is my keynote. Now, if I were to actually go to an organization and spend, you know, 90 minutes or longer with them, what would that look like? What kind of value would I bring? What would be the call to actions? What would be the action item? So what I did is I took my abstract. And my abstract's got, it's already got the ready-made formula in the form of learning objectives. So there's like 3 to 5 learning objectives. And so then what I did was, the formula I followed is, each learning objective now becomes an individual topic in my workshop. So if I've got 3 learning objectives, that's 3 separate topics that we're going to unpack in a workshop setting. If I've got 5, those are 5 separate topics. So then I take that learning objective, that becomes the topic of my workshop outline. Then I ask myself, what case study or story can I share with the audience that accentuates that topic, right? It may be a story or a certain case study that we can work through that talks about that topic in a real setting. Then I then say, okay, then how would we apply that in a real world setting? And how would I deliver that? How would I would discuss that? And how would I present that to the audience? Then I come up with an exercise to support that topic. Usually an exercise is small groups, having a group discussion about the topic and how they would apply it in their situation. And then what I'll do is, we come back together, we have a group discussion about that. Then I give them an action item based on that exercise to apply immediately in their work, in their life, whatever that looks like. That, when I do that and I break that out, that can be anywhere from an hour session to 90 minutes, depending on how robust the group discussions are. And you could really spread that out as long as you want. Okay. So let me give you an example. The Rise Above Chaos methodology that I do. One of the first things we talk about is identifying your why. The why has a 2-part formula. Number one is, you need to identify your passions, what you're willing to suffer for. That's the fuel that helps you rise above the chaos. The second part of that formula is aligning that with your superpowers, the things you're uniquely qualified to do. And there's 3 superpower questions you have to ask yourself. So what I do is, in that setting, I present that idea. This is the why formula. And I present my story and how I identified my passions and how I identified my superpowers. I give them some passion questions they've got to answer. Then I give them 20 minutes to answer those questions. It's very quiet. We may have some music in the background. They write down their passions. I say, great. Now what I want you to do is think about your superpowers and answer these questions. They do that. Now, if you align these 2 things together, what is that saying to you? What are you getting from that? And what we do is, we have small group discussions and they talk about that amongst themselves. Then we bring them back and we discuss it as a group. That in itself takes about 2 hours to do, Grant, just that one topic. So that's how I do it. It sounds good in my head. Maybe it doesn't translate well. How's that land with you?
No, that all makes sense. And I think another thing we kind of touched on at the beginning was, it's kind of similar to like whenever you're doing a keynote or developing an idea for a keynote, you're just kind of making an educated guess. You know, you'll start to figure out what works and what doesn't work. But the best way to learn is, again, kind of make your educated guess and then get out there and start doing it. You know, the workshop that you would present today is a much better, more polished workshop than the first time you did it. And you just kind of figure out, I'm watching people and we're a couple hours in or an hour in, I can tell maybe they're not interested, or it feels like I've lost them here, or we did this activity that seemed like it made a ton of sense in my mind, and then in practicality, it just fell apart, or actually it would be better if it was, you know, shorter or longer or whatever. Like, all of those are things that you kind of figure out when you're actually doing it. Now, one thing I'd also be curious is, do you provide any type of workbook or like written materials, anything for people to doodle on, scribble on, take notes, anything like that?
Yeah, I think a workbook is huge. for a couple reasons. Something magical happens when you write stuff down, when you get stuff out of your head, and it unlocks something in your subconscious mind that allows you kind of work through things. The other thing too is it's a nice way for have a centrally located item for people to write down everything, and it makes it easier for them to have a nice experience in the workshop. The other thing is you could load inside the workbooks all kinds of other stuff that can promote future workshops and other things. Like in my workbooks, I have QR codes in there to my podcast, QR codes for other products I have at the end. So it's a really nice way to continue to market to folks and give them more things they can do to continue the journey with you. So yes. So what I do is I just follow the same methodology. The topic's in there. There's a room for notes. There's an area to write stuff down during the exercise. And at the end of each of the exercises, I have them write down what are two or three things that you got from this section, and what's the one thing you're going to do differently moving forward. One of the feedback I get in my workshops, Grant, is that everybody says when they walk out of my workshops, they feel like they have a plan. They can take action, and it's very actionable. And so the methodology I just shared with you is how I do it. And as I rinse and repeat that. And I actually, my longest workshop, and this is going to really excite you because I know you would love to do this, is actually 3.5 days. I do a 3.5 day workshop.
So long. But I mean, as you again kind of touched on earlier, the reality is that if you're doing a 30, 45, 60 minute keynote, there's just only so much you can do, only so much you can cover or get into the weeds. But like in 3.5 days with people, you know, typically a smaller group of people, like you really get to know people, you get to connect with them, you really get to kind of break down some of the limitations and or limiting beliefs that they may have or struggles that they're running into. Like you can really cover some serious ground and make some serious dents in, you know, personally or professionally, whatever it is that they're trying to work on there. So workshops are incredibly, incredibly impactful from that standpoint. Okay, let's keep moving on here. And again, just for the sake of the audience, like we've covered a lot of stuff and we're kind of going through stuff quickly and at a high level. But in a few minutes here, we're going to share if you want to go deeper with Eric on this, we've got a way that you can do that. So we'll just kind of put that out there for now. But to wrap it up here, again, we've gone from developing, marketing a solid keynote talk, developing that lead generator, translating that keynote into a workshop product. And then four is just really taking deliberate steps to market that workshop after you speak and after you present that keynote. So walk us through, like what intentional things are you doing to turn? I just finished speaking. I finished doing a keynote and I had a bunch of people opt in and I've got this workshop. Where do I go from here?
Yeah. Well, when I get off that keynote stage, Grant, I know that there's huge amounts of revenue opportunities that are about to occur in the next 15 minutes. And I want to capture as much of that as I possibly can. And so I can almost set myself up for the next 18 months. If I just do what I'm about to share with you over the next 15 minutes when you get off the keynote stage. To me, it breaks my heart when I see a speaker get off stage and just walk away. I'm like, holy cow, you just walked away from a lot of potential revenue. And so what I do is I follow up with all the excited audience members. There's always going to be people that's going to go up to your stage and they're going to want to chat with you. And so I capture their information really quickly through just exchanging of business cards. I know you're a big fan of business cards. Not really, but what I do is I give them my business card and I have them write their information on the back of mine. This seems analog. It seems like old school, but I walk away after every keynote with about 15 to 20 business cards every time. That's 15 to 20 folks that I can load into my CRM. Now, hopefully they use the lead gen, but what if they didn't? I might have missed that opportunity. So I want to cover all my bases. So anybody that comes up to me after my talk, I want to get their contact information right there. And here's what it looks like. Hey, Grant, thanks so much for sharing your feedback with me. Hey, I want to continue this conversation with you. Is there a way I can get your contact information? I'd love to follow up with you. Almost every time they give me their contact information. The other thing I do is I want to make sure that the event planners doing surveys. And if they don't do surveys, I'll do one. Usually SurveyMonkey. I know you've had some folks about Talkadot. That's pretty hot right now in the industry. But the main thing is when you do a survey like that, there's a question you can ask them. Do you want to work with Eric? And if they answer yes, you want to follow up with those folks and their contact information is going to be in there. So those two things I do. And then all the folks that use my lead gen, then I want to follow up with them through my CRM, through an email campaign. Now, don't overthink an email campaign. More than one email is now, that's the definition of a campaign, okay? So if I just send out a quick email and say, hey, I appreciate you being at the conference. I really enjoyed my experience with you. hey, I would love to have a conversation with you about how we can continue this and bring it to your organization. This is what that would look like. Hey, if you're interested, here's a link to set up a phone call with me. I'd love to have a quick conversation with you, right? And then see who responds. Inevitably, some people are going to respond. They're going to go ahead and set up a call. Then I'll follow up with a couple more emails to make sure that there's anybody that's interested, they'll set up a phone call with me so we can have that discussion. And then finally, what I do is I make sure that I have an exit interview with the event planner, the person that hired me, to discuss how can I work with them again in the future, because I want to continue this momentum. And I even talk to them about how we can do a workshop for their very members. So there's been times, Grant, where the event planner is like, Eric, I really liked your stuff. We'd be willing to host a workshop. And so they host a workshop sometimes for their own staff or sometimes at a separate event where they're going to invite all their members. So when I do those three things, then inevitably I'm going to book some workshops out of that.
But it sounds like one of the most important things is to ultimately strike while the iron's hot. Like, you just got off stage. People are the most excited about your presentation versus, you know, following up or not having conversations there, but then just kind of like reaching out to people days or weeks later. And they're like, wait a second, who's this guy again? And what did he talk about? Oh, yeah, I do remember liking him. But again, just some of the excitement and some of the shine has faded off there. So it's important to really start those conversations to prime the pump while you're there. I want to shift gears for a second. You talked about at the beginning about how much workshops has really impacted the business financially and just from a revenue standpoint that you've seen significant growth from that. But we didn't really talk about necessarily like fees. Like, how do you think about pricing workshops and how does that kind of fit in and maybe even compare with your keynotes?
Yeah. Well, I look at it as, number one, there's an expectation. I think inevitably, people that are decision makers, they expect to pay more for a workshop than they do a keynote for the average person. If you're not a celebrity and you're just an average person like me or you, there's just that general expectation that if you're going to do a deep dive, they're expecting to pay more. I usually price it by the day. So I would say most of my workshops, probably 80% of them are half-day workshops. Sometimes they're full-day workshops, and I got that multi-day workshops. But most of them are half-day, maybe 3.5-4 hours. And I usually charge the same amount that if it's a half-day or a full-day. And most event planners are okay with that. Now, here's the exciting part. You ready for this, Grant? You could charge up to 10x of what you would charge at a keynote. And I actually have data on that. And the other thing, what's nice about that is you can also work with that same client annually, year over year. Now, here's what's cool about it. Remember I told you I have a 3.5-day workshop? Well, a lot of times event planners might not be able to have me come in for 3.5 days, but they can have me come in for 1 day over the next 3 years. And so I know now for the next 3 years, I've got one client that before the year even starts, I know they're going to hire me for phase two. I talk my workshops like phase one, phase two, phase three. So they have me come in and do the first phase and say, hey, we want you to come back next year to do the second phase. And once you come back next year and do the third phase. And I start stacking these clients on, that's where that 60% of that revenue comes from. It's a beautiful thing. Now, let me give you an example. You want to hear an example of one?
Yeah. Make this concrete for us.
Yeah. All right. So I actually did this and actually I went back and looked at the numbers. My keynote was lower than I thought. I thought I did a $5,000 keynote, but actually a few years ago, there was a not-for-profit organization. All they could pay me was $2,500. So I did a $2,500 keynote. It was a closing keynote. In that in the room was a person in the room that was really excited about my talk. Now, going back to what I told you, I want to strike when the iron's hot. So she was able to, I was able to get her contact information and follow up her with the expectation that I could take what she was excited about on the keynote stage and I can bring it in as a workshop for her company. Year one, so $2,500 was the keynote. Year one, that workshop I did for her was $20,000. Okay. Wow. That's what they paid me. They liked it so much. They wanted me to come back year two. I came back year two. They paid me $25,000. They liked it so much. They asked me to come back for year three. I came back year three. They paid me $27,000. This is one client. All right. I got multiple clients like this. This year, I'm going out there in April. They're going to pay me $32,000. But it started with what we've been going through this whole journey with me having a signature message, a keynote, delivering that message, adding tremendous value, and having a mechanism for someone like her that was wanting to continue the conversation and continue the journey and having a way to do that.
Now think about that and multiply that by 20 clients, 30 clients, and you can see where this goes. It's phenomenal. And there's really no ceiling other than your time and just having the time to do it. That's your biggest ceiling.
Yeah, one of the things that is really compelling about this is, you know, when you start to get into the $25,000, $30,000, $35,000, $40,000 range, like you're starting to kind of teeter in like some pseudo celebrity status for keynote fees, but you don't have to be some big name or be some type of celebrity or pseudo celebrity in order to charge those kind of fees to do workshops. And so, you know, as you kind of alluded to there, you know, one $2,500 keynote over the next couple of years turns into literally over six figures. I mean, over $100,000 in revenue from this other stream there. So again, this can be incredibly a great way to build your business, to work with fewer clients, but to go deeper with the audiences and the clients that you work with, to really drive and impact the revenue and the top line and the bottom line for you. So workshops can be really impactful in a lot of different ways here. So to again, kind of put a bow on this is again, that four-part framework for that seven-figure speaking business is one, develop, market a solid keynote talk. Number two, develop that lead generator to support the keynote and to capture those leads. Number three, to translate that keynote into a viable workshop product. And then finally, number four is to take the deliberate steps to market your workshop after stepping off the keynote stage. Now, again, like we touched on, Eric, like we've covered a lot of ground here and we've gone through this relatively quickly, but at the same time, there's a lot we just didn't cover. There's a lot of in the weed stuff that people are like, okay, I get this, and this, but I'm trying to think through this other part and how that would apply to me or what this would look like, or I have this keynote message, how would that translate into a workshop? And just trying to think through this. And so, Eric, you've worked with a lot of our students in the past and gone in the weeds with them to help them kind of navigate and build the business. You have been a phenomenal example and resource to students to say, hey, I've done this before. I'm doing this currently. Let me just show you exactly what I'm doing. Let me kind of pull back the curtain and show you exactly what's working in my business. You've done that a lot and as it relates to your keynote business, but now you're doing that as it relates to the workshop side of your business, which as you've talked about today, has been one of the more, if not the most lucrative part of your business. So talk us through what this new program, this new initiative that we're working on together, what will this look like? And if students want to go deeper or listeners want to go deeper with you on this workshop topic, what would this look like?
Yeah, well, I'm so excited. I love partnering with you, Grant. It's always an honor when you allow me to partner with you. And I do it for a few reasons. One, I just love this. I love being a speaker. I love talking shop. It inspires me to hang out with other speakers. In fact, one of my former students, he flew in from Chicago yesterday and he sat in my workshop yesterday that I did. And him and I took a picture together, and nothing inspires me and motivates me more when someone like that comes in and we hang together and we've got this relationship because I had an opportunity to work with him. And so I love working with the speakers. And so what we decided to do, now listen, I'm a full-time speaker. Make there no mistake. I'm a full-time speaker. I just got off the workshop trail yesterday. Next week, I'm doing a workshop in Delaware. And from Delaware, Grant, I go to Iowa and do a workshop there. And because the speaking business has blessed me and my family, we're going to Italy after that. Come on now. I mean, I'm not messing around, but I am a partner with the Speaker Lab. And here's what we decided to do is we're going to put together a small private cohort of speakers, a private group, okay, of folks that have a signature message that they've delivered, but they're interested now because you're listening to this podcast, like I'm intrigued by this. You're interested to take that signature message and you want to 3X it up to 10X. Okay. So if you're interested and you want to dive into this workshop world, dip your toe into it and lean into it, this is something you've been wanting to do. We've got something for you that we're testing out. It's called Workshop Mastery, where you can 3X and 10X your fees. So what would that look like? Well, first of all, it's going to be a small group. Second of all, you're going to be working exclusively with me, all right? And we're going to unpack what we just talked about in this podcast, but we're going to dive deep into it. We're going to paint by the numbers. I'm going to show you exactly what I'm doing. Again, this isn't theory. This is stuff I'm doing right now. We're going to have four sessions. We're going to start with, we're going to get our lead gen created. We're going to get yours created. We're going to work together on that. Then we're going to work through translating your keynote into a high ticket workshop. Then we're going to create the abstract on these workshops. You can test it in the market. And we're going to dive deeper into exactly the same system and strategy that I use when I step off that keynote stage and how I book those gigs and how I can get them booked. Now, here's what's cool about it is we're going to have some live touch points where we're going to have those live sessions. Then we're calling them workshop pods, Grant. We're going to get in smaller groups and I'm going to work with you on the concept. So like on the lead gen, you're going to actually go out and you're going to create it, but we're going to get back together and we're going to roll up our sleeves and make sure that your lead gen's polished and ready to go, just like the ones I use. Okay, we're going to do that after each session. Also, we do monthly jam sessions. I love these monthly jam sessions because we're going to get together, we roll up our sleeves, and we just talk shop. There's so much gold when you spend an hour with other people that are in the trenches and say, hey, what's working for you? What tech's working for you? We exchange ideas. It's really awesome. And the momentum and the inspiration from that gives you that inspiration to move forward and continue grinding out in your workshops. Mm-hmm. Now, here's what's fun about this. This is what I'm really excited about. Once you land a gig, all right, then we're going to do some one-on-one sessions with you to help you get ready to actually go out and do the workshop. We've got one person on our staff. She's really good at workshops, and that's going to unlock that. So once you get the gig land and an event planner says, yep, Grant, I want to hire you and in 90 days or whatever, then we're going to do some one-on-one work with you to make sure that you're prepared to actually deliver a fantastic workshops, okay? So it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool. So again, kind of restate, like, who is this for? And like, if I'm listening, like, okay, I'm intrigued, but people are at all different kind of stages of their speaking journey. Like, who would this be a good fit for?
Yeah. So these are for folks that have developed or working on their signature message. So they've got a pretty good idea of their audience. They've already delivered some talks. Now, it doesn't matter if you've delivered two signature messages, two keynotes, or 500, but as long as you have some momentum, right? And you've got an idea what your signature message is, and you've tested the market and you've actually spoken a few times, you've got something there. The market's telling you got something there, but now you want to continue and capture that momentum. What you don't want to do, Grant, is you don't want to wait till it's too late and miss all these opportunities because you're leaving opportunity on the table. Let's capture that. So if you're already out there and you're delivering messages at conferences, at associations, now let's go to the next step and let's expand your reach to this workshop idea.
And so the next step here is if you're listening and like, hey, I am super intrigued by this. This is the lights on my dashboard are lit up right now. Then you definitely want to go to thespeakerlab.com/workshop. Again, that is thespeakerlab.com/workshop. There you can schedule a call with our team. It's a one-on-one call. There we'll just chat with you, learn a little bit more about your business, what your goals are, how workshops might fit into that, and figure out if you might be a good fit for this cohort that Eric's talking about within Workshop Mastery. Again, that link is thespeakerlab.com/workshop, thespeakerlab.com/workshop. Eric, we have covered a lot of ground. Any final words here before we wrap up?
Yeah. I just want everyone that's listening to this, even if you just start to take what we talked about in this podcast and you want to test it out yourself, just think about this. This is what workshops can do for you. I want you to imagine this. Think about what you made last year and imagine what it would be like to triple that top line revenue this year. If that excites you, what are you waiting for? Let's jump into it together.
Yeah, this could be really, really significant for a handful of select speakers. So again, go to thespeakerlab.com/workshop, thespeakerlab.com/workshop. Schedule that call with our team. We look forward to chatting with you. Eric, thanks for the time, man. And we look forward to helping people build and grow their workshop part of their business. Hey friend, are you ready to get serious about taking your speaking business to the next level? Maybe you are someone who is looking for ways to book more paid gigs, or maybe you're trying to figure out all the different things that go into building a successful speaking business. Or perhaps you are an experienced speaker who wants to scale your speaking business to multiple six figures. If that's you, I'd encourage you to visit thespeakerlab.com/call. Again, thespeakerlab.com/call and book a free, no obligation call with our team. And if you're not quite ready to take that leap, I don't want you to hesitate in checking out all the free resources that we have available to you on our website, including this podcast. So head over to thespeakerlab.com. Again, thespeakerlab.com. Find hundreds of blog posts, how-to guides, podcast episodes, email scripts, proposal templates, and so much more. Finally, I got a big favor. I would love for you to leave us a rating or review for this podcast. We read every single one, and it also helps other speakers find valuable free resources that they can use to build their own speaking careers. As always, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.